Good evening and welcome to the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. I'm your host, Eric English. Man, the cryptocurrency market really, really took a dump over the last 24 hours. Bitcoin, as of a few minutes ago, was trading around 6,300. So it's really, really taken a big hit. And when Bitcoin goes down, everything goes down. So we're going to talk about that today. We're also going to talk about some new Office 365 vulnerabilities that we uncovered today, just through some emails that we received, phishing emails that we got, and they bypassed our spam filter. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And we're also going to talk about a new wireless hacking technique that was discovered by the guy that made Hashcat, which is a password cracking tool. He discovered a new way to get the password hash of a wireless network. So I thought that was a pretty interesting read as well. So we'll talk about that and the new technique. So before we get into everything too much here, I want to thank our sponsor, Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company. If you're looking for funny T-shirts, custom T-shirts, business T-shirts, polo shirts, whatever you need, Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company can get that done for you. Even jerseys for your team. So check them out. Their website is southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. Again, southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. You can also follow me on Twitter. I am at eenglish34. Again, it's at eenglish34 if you want to follow me on Twitter. So, I guess we'll start off with the crypto market and what the hell happened. So, the SEC was trying to pass some new regulations. They ended up postponing it. And everybody's claiming that that was the reason that the market took such a nosedive, was because of that regulation. And there was all kinds of speculation around what that regulation was going to do to Bitcoin and yada, yada, yada. And I guess everybody freaked out and started selling off everything that they've got and just created a huge crash in the crypto market. If you're not familiar with it, if Bitcoin goes down, every other currency, cryptocurrency, goes down as well. It's pretty rare when Bitcoin loses value and something else gains value. So, being that, you know, the market has lost, I think it was something like $11 billion or something. 7.5% of the entire market was gone in 24 hours. Some people are claiming this is market manipulation by some of the big hedge fund investors that have, you know, billions of dollars to play with. You know, they'll invest, wait for it to go up, and when it hits a certain point, they cash out. Other people have said it's because of that SEC regulation. Really, there's no telling what's causing all this. I think it's just rampant speculation and people freaking out about, you know, the unknown and what the SEC is going to do. And, you know, people just don't know what's going to happen with it. So anytime that Bitcoin faces any sort of regulation, people sell off all of their Bitcoin and all their assets. And I think it's, you know, it's a shame because, you know, I have faith that it's going to come back. The market will come back. It's going to take it a while. This is its lowest point since it's been in 2018. So we've hit a new low in Bitcoin. So the market's definitely tanked. And with that, I was talking yesterday about Ethereum Classic. And, you know, it's time to invest in that because Coinbase is going to support it. Well, Coinbase still hasn't released an update to their platform, at least on the app on my phone. Usually they update the app with the new functionality. I've also checked on their website. And I don't see Ethereum Classic trading there yet for the general consumer. Now, it may be available for their trading platform or another platform that they have. But with the market losing $11 billion, Ethereum Classic also lost value as well. It didn't lose nearly as much. I think it's still floating around $16 or $17. But it was at its highest value that it had been in a long time up until the last 24 hours. So Bitcoin really took a nosedive, really screwed up the whole market. So, but if you bought some Ethereum Classic, keep hanging on to it and wait for Coinbase to officially release updates to their platform. And then sell it. Or just hang on to it, you know, hang on to it for another 6 or 8 months. So that's kind of the biggest news in cryptocurrency today. All of you people that mine for crypto, right now is a horrible time for you because, you know, the value is just so low. So if you're mining for something and you've got graphics cards that you're mining with, you might want to shut them off for a little while. So, you know, it's a shame because, you know, so many people have been pretty gung-ho about mining, and, you know, all kinds of people are mining now. Graphics cards were in short supply last year from all the miners, and now the market's at such a low value, they're going to start losing miners. And, you know, that's going to affect transaction speed. It's going to affect a lot of things because Ethereum is still what they call proof of stake, and it's not quite moved over to proof of work yet. So proof of work means that there's no more mining that needs to happen. You don't have to mine anymore at all. Proof of stake requires mining. So this may push the Ethereum founders to move to proof of work. Microsoft also released their own version of the Ethereum blockchain that is proof of work and that does not require mining. So I thought that was also pretty interesting for the crypto world. But if you do any mining, right now is the time to shut it off because it's not going to make you much. You probably lose more in electricity than you're gaining with your mining rigs. You know, I was mining for Ethereum and a couple other smaller coins, and, you know, with Ethereum down to the $300 value right now, I think I was making the average I would make is less than $200 a month. And that's just not worth it. Just not worth it at all. So, you know, Ethereum really needs to be up in the $600 or $700 range to be able to make, you know, a decent profit mining. So I do think that there's going to be a lot of miners that decide to shut off their rigs and stop mining just because this is such, you know, that value really, really hurts everything. And Ethereum's been losing value since last year at its peak. I think it peaked at about $1,800. And now it's down in the $300 range. So that tells you where the market's gone in the last year. But, you know, there's still some optimism in the market. People think that it's going to come back. And they think that regulation will actually help the market. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But on to some cybersecurity news. I saw today in our environment that some attackers were sending us some phishing emails. And if you have an Office 365 environment for your emails, you have two different email addresses. One is yourdomain.com, whatever it is. The second one is onmicrosoft.com. And you have to have both if you're on 365. So if a hacker emails your onmicrosoft.com account, it can actually bypass your spam filter. So we're looking into this today to see if there's any way to mitigate that, because we want everything to go through our spam filter at Proofpoint. But right now, if you email our onmicrosoft.com address, it goes around Proofpoint. So it goes directly to a Microsoft server. The other interesting thing that we found out just kind of through trial and error is that if you're an Office 365 tenant, or you have any kind of email running at Office 365, and you email somebody else that in a different domain that has Office 365, that email will not leave the Microsoft servers. It just goes from tenant to tenant rather than out over the internet and through our spam filter. So potentially hackers could, you know, spin up their own Office 365 environment if they really wanted to attack people on Office 365 and start phishing away that way. So pretty scary stuff. We're looking for some mitigation techniques on that. Haven't found any yet. We checked our inbound mail rules to make sure that we're only allowing mail from Proofpoint. All of that's configured correctly. So we're working to mitigate those, and I'll update everybody once we have a good mitigation strategy for that. But I thought that was rather scary on both fronts, both bypassing our spam filter and, you know, tenant to tenant emails not going through our spam filter. So more stuff to worry about, of course. Other cybersecurity news, there's a new technique to hack WPA2 wireless. I thought this was kind of cool. The guy that made Hashcat, the ever popular password cracking and hash cracking tool, found a vulnerability in WPA2. So how this works, the previous attack in WPA2 required somebody to be connected to that wireless network so you could do what's called a deauthentication. And you basically, you kick them off of that wireless network by sending a special signal to their computer. It kicks them off of that wireless network, and you know, every computer, every phone automatically rejoin the network as soon as it can. So of course, whatever device you just booted off is going to try to reconnect. So because of this reconnection, and during that process you're doing a packet capture, you can actually capture what's called the four-way handshake, where the password for your wireless network is sent back and forth between your computer or phone or whatever and your wireless router or wireless access point. So you capture that four-way handshake, and then you can decrypt the password hash. So this new technique does not require to do the deauthentication part of it. You can just go out there and grab the hash without deauthenticating anybody. So it's a much more stealthy attack, and actually a lot quicker and easier. So with deauthentication, you had to wait. And sometimes, you know, if you weren't close enough to the access point, you couldn't, you still couldn't grab that four-way handshake because you'd lose packets, you know, all kinds of different things like that. So this new technique is very, very cool for hackers to just get on any, you know, find out any wireless network and get the password hash on any wireless network pretty quickly. Within the drop of a hat, you can have that password hash. You still have to run it through Hashcat to crack the password. That part has not changed. And that's oftentimes the most difficult part, but just, you know, skipping the deauthentication part and skipping that waiting around period is just really, really going to speed things up. So for all you wireless pen testers out there, this is really going to speed things up for you. I know I've done wireless pen testing in the past myself, and it was a royal pain. Especially if nobody was on the wireless network and you're trying to do a wireless pen test, doesn't exactly work. So check out that. I'll post all these articles in the show notes for today. But that's all I got for today. Check out our sponsor, SouthernGraphicsTshirtCo.com, for all your t-shirt needs. And we'll talk to everybody tomorrow. Thanks for listening.